Solve, secure, protect. Look to Patel for the independent thinking and cross-disciplinary focus it takes to advance security and safety in a changing world. They provide their clients with integrated solutions that secure our nation and help solve challenges within infrastructure, environment, emerging threats, and deployable mission-ready technology. Their teams leverage their deep expertise to develop science and technology for a healthier, safer, and more sustainable world. Visit Battelle.org to learn how Battelle makes the impossible possible. Welcome to From the Crow's Nest, a podcast on electromagnetic spectrum operations, or EMSO. I'm your host, Ken Miller, Director of Advocacy and Outreach for the Association of Old Crows. Thanks for listening. This week, I am in Warner Robins, Georgia for the 46th Annual Dixie Crow Symposium and the 2022 Robins Air Force Base Requirements Symposium. And we're going to bring you some of the content and guests from this week in future episodes, both from the Crow's Nest and our History of Crows podcast. If you've never had a chance to attend this event, it's definitely worth marking your calendars. It's a great opportunity to meet leaders across the military services and industry in EW. Great networking opportunity. It's always a pleasure to attend this event each year. But for this episode of From the Crow's Nest, while we're here at Dixie Crow, I wanted to take you back to the 58th Annual AOC Symposium Convention in DC that took place in November, December last year. During the show, I had an opportunity to meet with a group of young engineers in attendance from NAS Pax River in Maryland, which is the home of NAVAIR. Our local chapter down there, the Pax River Roost, spends a lot of time cultivating and mentoring young early career engineers that come through NAVAIR to help them succeed and leverage their talents. So part of this meeting, I sat down with three of them to talk about their unique journeys and what advice they have for other young professionals looking at the field of engineering. Let's listen in. So I think the easiest way to do this is just let me have you introduce yourself and tell a little bit about what you do at Pax River.
My name is Kaylee Arceo. I've been at Pax since 2019. I'm an electrical engineer. Right now, I'm currently supporting VX-23 with test and evaluation of NGJ midband.
Hey, my name's Kyle Robinson here. I've been working at Pax River since 2017 as an intern. I just started working full-time this past, around, I would say, May timeframe as an electrical engineer working on RF communication systems and microwave antennas.
Hello, my name is Troy Robinson. I also was an intern that just recently graduated from UMD as an EE, and I'm working on mainly GPS systems and packages.
We just had a meeting with your larger group, and I think there's probably about 20, 25 people as part of your group, and it's a great opportunity. I really appreciate you coming up. And, you know, you all work in different departments on different programs, and you've all taken very different paths to where you're at today. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the path that you took. I know one of you just graduated, and then another one's been, you've been in the military service. So I was wondering if we could go back around, just tell a little bit about the path that you took that brought you here today.
Sure. So right out of high school, I joined the Coast Guard Reserve. So after doing that for about a year, I started working for a company, new shipbuilding, and I got into their apprentice school. So pretty much I did their apprentice program. I was an electrician for a couple years, and then I transitioned to a technician, and then eventually as an engineer. And they have a pretty solid program that pretty much pays for schooling and all that good stuff. So that was kind of my path. And then about a year after I graduated and I served my commitment with that company, I decided that I wanted to work for the government. And I had an opportunity here at Pax River, Naval Administration Pax River, and here I am now.
Hey, so my name's Kyle again. You know, my path is pretty similar to my friend Troy's here. We both went to the same elementary school, middle school, and high school. And in our high school, they had a program called Project Lead the Way, which was focused on civil engineering. And that really got us, or got me interested into engineering itself. So then after high school, I graduated went to the local community college called the College of Southern Maryland. There it had an electrical engineering program, had a partnership with NAVAIR and University of Maryland itself. So basically the deal was you get your associates from CSM, then you transfer to UMD. And then after you graduate, you work for NAVAIR for 2 years because they paid for your bachelor's degree once you transferred. So it's a really good deal. That's really how I got started and really interested into it myself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to repeat a lot of what he said, but...
What specifically, so you went through the same kind of path in high school. What specifically attracted your interest into engineering? I mean, I'm terrible at math, absolutely terrible. So I'm always astounded by the ideas that come around with engineering and the attraction that certain people have. So what got your attention? Like, this is where I want to focus my career on at that age.
Right. I mean, I basically was only good at math at one time. Yeah. So, and that and Legos. And I was like, well, what can I do with Legos and math? And I initially wanted to be a civil engineer. Mm-hmm. I have a family member that is retired from the FAA as a civil engineer. And I was doing Project Lead the Way in high school, and I was really interested. But then, I mean, free education, I couldn't turn that down.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
So I got directed towards electrical engineering, and then I just kept going.
And,
so.
And it's great with STEM, all the opportunities that are out there. I have not heard of Project Lead the Way. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a program, I believe. I don't know if it's only in Charles County, Maryland. I believe other counties also have the program, along with St. Mary's County and Calvert County. It's just basically an initiative created by, I believe, the local government to get more students interested into STEM careers. And basically, that started throughout, it carries out through your freshman year all the way to your senior year. Just really gets you involved in digital electronics. Our school focused on civil engineering, so we had a lot of architecture focus, some programming. So that really got you interested into the details. And like, once you did that, it really showed you or opened up doors like, hey, man, I can get involved with engineering. It's really creative. I can basically create whatever I want as long as you can think of it and have the resources to do it.
And how about you? What piqued your interest in engineering that you wanted to? Because you took many different paths into the military and you you had to find your way in each of those areas. So like, could you talk a little bit about what piqued your interest?
Sure. I guess kind of similar to these gentlemen over here. I was good at math and science, so I didn't know what I wanted to do right after high school, but I didn't know I didn't have money to pay for it, so that's kind of why I took the path that I did. But I guess kind of for me, I kind of just got funneled in there because I was an electrician, and then I became a technician, and then I was like, well, the next step would just be, you know, just go ahead and become an engineer, an electrical engineer. So that's kind of how I kind of got funneled in there. And when I went to the apprentice school, they kind of had similar, or they had like kind of two degree tracks that you could get, a mechanical engineering or an electrical engineering degree. So I was kind of, you know, it was kind of free school. I just had to work for that company for a year service agreement. So, you know, it was kind of just naturally funneled in that way. So.
All right. So now you're all at Pax River. You all kind of do different, you focus on different areas. And wanted to ask you where you're at today. What do you need to succeed in today's competitive environment professionally? Because I think before today, probably your exposure to AOC is relatively minimal. So you're here now. What can we do to help you professionally moving forward?
Yeah, so I guess it might be a little obvious that no matter how smart you are or how educated you are, I think the whole main thing that we can get the most out of this is networking. Because when you, no matter what field you are in, if you can find someone that's smarter than you, someone who knows more information or different systems or different jobs, you know, for transitioning or rotations, I think networking is probably the most important part of it.
Yeah, I would really say mentorship, and basically you don't know what you don't know. So anybody that can help you figure out what you really want to do, that's really the key to what I'm looking for, or I guess what people are looking for. The job is great, you know, really want to learn how to do that, specifically get well at that before moving on to somewhere else, because you got to learn one thing before you do something else. So really just mentorship, good leadership, that's really what we're looking for, at least me personally.
Yeah, I kind of have the same, I guess, opinion too, because where I used to work at, I worked there for maybe nine years, and that was kind of one of the things that I personally was lacking, is not having like a mentor or even like a supervisor kind of just like pushing you along. It's like, hey, you know, there's this opportunity here that I think you'd be a great fit. I think some people kind of just get in their ways and kind of just stay in their lane and not really look at, you know, at some point I will be retiring and I need to train my young workforce. So either, you know, having a mentor or having someone to be like, oh, I have this opportunity, I think you'd be a great fit, has helped me here. And I know my boss, Philip, he does a great job at kind of, hey, you know, there's an opportunity here. And at least from my perspective, you know, there's a lot of opportunity at PAX. So just, again, having that network and knowing the right people.
Hello, everyone. I want to take a short break to thank Battelle for their continued support for our From the Crow's Nest podcast. It's always great to hear from them, and I am pleased to be here with Rusty Colmorgan, Navy veteran and division manager at Battelle. Rusty, thanks for joining me here on From the Crow's Nest. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks very much, and thanks for the opportunity.
You've had an interesting career with extensive stints in the Navy and industry. What brought you to Battelle, and how does your experience align with Battelle's mission?
Yeah, thanks for that, Ken. And I did have a very rewarding career as a Navy pilot. And as I transitioned through a number of companies in industry, I continued to have great experiences because I got the chance to work alongside eye-watering technical talent. What I'm most excited about at Battelle is how our campus is literally surrounded by an impressive depth of relevant applied researchers. That uniquely embedded in-house research capability serves as a foundation as we focus on solutions to the world's hardest problems. We strive to create a better world through science, and the RavenStar technology is the latest example of a hard problem with wide society benefits.
In the past, we've heard here on From the Crow's Nest from your colleagues, Doug Thornton and Molly Engel. They provided some intriguing insights about the RavenStar antenna. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about the challenges of this trade space and what you're trying to address with this game-changing technology?
Well, the bottom line is that users have had to sub-optimize their capabilities and needs with traditional design approaches in the RF spectrum. Traditionally, electronic warfare and command and control users want a number of capabilities that create a challenging design space. Those needs are typically long ranges, maximum throughput, and low probability of intercept, low probability of detection. They want those ranges for more effective operational reach or standoff, and they want more throughput for the increased data that leads to actionable intelligence. And those tight control of the emissions, they want those for either maximizing energy on a particular bearing or limiting the ability to detect or interfere with their emissions. It's not an easy trade space, but the flexibility of the RavenStar architecture gives them more of what they want operationally.
So what does the RavenStar do that makes it optimized across these critical performance needs, and how does that stand out from traditional approaches?
Well, our frequency agility gives operators flexibility to work an ultra-wide portion of the spectrum through a single low-swap software-defined aperture. RavenStar co-designed extremely wide-band aperture arrays with co-located advanced electronics. This allows a compact, frequency-flexible RF solution. Our approach minimizes conventional antenna feature trade-off and allows significant design flexibility for delivering the spectrum dominance that's needed.
We've been tracking this program here on the show. How mature is RavenStar today?
We put it at a TRL 6 after testing that we've done in December of 2023, and continuing into this year, we'll do field tests, accompany lab demonstrations, and development performance on formal efforts with different DoD customers, all that are pointed toward a continued maturation of the RavenStar design. They show the RavenStar's ability is to support all domain missions that require multiple communications.
Well, thank you, Rusty, for joining me here on the show. It's always great to hear from the Battelle team. And now it's time to get back to our show. We just came from a meeting where we talked a little bit about some of the mentorship programs that we're instituting here at the AOC. And a key component of that is, of course, still, you know, we engaging the very young crow in high school. Now that you've arrived at your current position and you've gone through a lot of your education, and obviously you have a lot more education to go through throughout your career, what can you tell the high school student who is not really sure where they want to go professionally? What can you tell them about the engineering career as where you sit today that would encourage them to get into this field and kind of pursue their dreams and their abilities to the fullest?
I know Kyle and me used to joke about this a lot. Khan Academy, I can't stress that enough. That's probably why I'm sitting here today. It's hard to say you want to be something in layman's terms because you don't know what it really entails. I can tell you I have a job at Target, and you're like, oh, okay, what am I going to do? And you say supply. And well, what does that entail? You don't know until you get there. And then you realize you're lifting boxes or carrying, you could be driving a truck, you can do forklift. You don't really know until you start diving in. And I think a lot of programs like Khan Academy or even Chegg or anything where you can look at the work that you'll be doing before you get into the actual field, I think that helps a lot. And that comes with mentors as well, where you can just, you want to know what you're getting into, because if you don't like it, you know, you're not going to like it, and you don't want to spend the rest of your life doing that. So,
Yeah, I would say if you're in high school, you know, keep your options broad. You don't have to decide on what you want to do. I know for sure I didn't know what I wanted to do. I first started off, I wanted to do computer science. I got involved and volunteered to that at the University of Maryland. They had a little summer program. I learned I couldn't code, so I decided that wasn't the route for me. Then I tried out architecture, learned out it wasn't really what I wanted to do personally. I wasn't a fan of drawing as I thought it was. Then I got involved with electrical engineering and RF communications, and I realized, hey, I really like this stuff. But even with electrical engineering, it's so broad. I still say I'm keeping my options open. Like, I am involved with RF and electronic warfare right now, but, you know, later on I might want to do power systems or something else along that line. So just keep your options open. Look out for different, you know, types of summer programs that you can get involved in and really test out your waters before you go head first into something that you want to do.
I think the only thing I would add is I think a lot of high schoolers or kids in general have a lot of pressure on them to kind of have their life figured out before they even go to college. Or I know when I graduated high school, my guidance counselor was pretty adamant. It's like, what college are you going to? I was like, well, I'm not going to college. I'm joining the military. But I think just like what Kyle was saying, keep your options open. And I think having programs where kind of like that partnership that PACS has with the high schools, like just trying to get people who are in those fields involved, and so you can see what an engineer does on a daily basis, I think is very important.
And last question, you know, you mentioned, you know, the importance of networking and mentorship, and sometimes the challenges of very, what we might call seasoned engineers who have been in the profession for 20, 30, 40 years, they maybe tend to stay in their lanes. And one of the key things about our mentor-menteeship program that we're trying to launch is we have this growing pool of people looking for mentorship. We need to attract mentors. We need to attract people who are willing to help out and mentor some of these young engineers out of college, starting their careers and earlier. What would you tell that 50-year-old plus seasoned engineer that you bring to the table professionally for that next step in your career when you're the future of this profession right here? So what do you bring to the table that we need to address today? We need to adapt to.
Yeah, I'd probably say we bring a lot of new perspectives, new change. Even when I'm working today, things are the way they are. I heard you can't do certain things a different way because that's just the way it's always been done. But, you know, they're starting to loosen up those terms and not sticking to that anymore. They're starting to allow, you know, a little more innovation, a little more different perspectives to see how they can improve on different functions that go on inside the office on a day-to-day basis. So we just bring a lot of, again, new perspectives there, and that will, I think, will help future workforce.
I guess just to kind of echo that, I think when we've done something for a long time, we kind of put our blinders on and we don't know any other way to do it. And that's just the way that is always done. And I think allowing young people to kind of challenge that process and to think outside the box and to bring those new fresh ideas, I think will be key for us to stay relevant in the battle space. So,
I mean, yeah.
You get the last word here, you know. everything hinges on what you say right now.
Yeah, I mean, sort of like what they're saying is that there's a lot of times that I've been told to do something a certain way, and I'll recommend, you know, a different suggestion, and I'll sometimes even back it up with research, and sometimes they just, I don't want to say shun you, but they turn like almost like a blind eye, and they'll be like, no, it wasn't like that before, and it's not going to be like that today. So it's sometimes, I guess, you could say like a progressive outlook, where, like you said, the shutters that, you know, take like the blindfolds off and let, I guess, sometimes let them roam free, and then you approve it with research. So there's no risk when you have documentation.
And that's one of the things we've been talking about a lot this week, is the assumptions and the way we've been doing business. It might make us comfortable today, but it's not going to help us have an advantage globally from a military perspective or commercial perspective if we don't open up those shutters and kind of accept new ideas and think about things differently. So, well, that's all the time that we have for today. I really want to thank you for coming by the Crow's Nest here at AOC 2021. Really appreciate your time. And I know you have a full schedule ahead of you. But as the advocacy and outreach director for the Old Crows, I do look forward to visiting Pax River regularly. Once now that COVID is starting to lift, we can start to do some more site visits. And I'm always looking forward to coming down and engaging program managers and the researchers and engineers down there and really kind of building that relationship. So I want to thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That will conclude this episode of From the Crow's Nest. I want to draw your attention to an upcoming episode of our sister podcast, The History of Crows, celebrating the contributions of women in electronic warfare as part of Women's History Month. Finally, we want to hear your thoughts. Please take a few minutes to complete our survey because we need this information to continue to grow our podcast and bring you the content that you, our listeners, want to hear. You can find the survey on our website at crows.org/podcast and in the show notes. Thank you for listening. This podcast is brought to you by Battelle, the world's largest independent, not-for-profit, applied science and technology organization. Since 1929, their mission has been to translate scientific discovery and technology advances to benefit society. Through markets such as health, environment, infrastructure, industry, and national security, Battelle has been delivering cutting-edge solutions that impact the well-being of the world and help keep us safe at home. To learn more, go to battelle.org/connect. That's BATTELLE.org/connect.